Hello there, everyone. Welcome to Discovery Sound, stories for young people here on Cortez Community Radio. On the dial at CKTZ 89.5. Or you can listen over the internet at cortezradio.ca. Today's stories are about how some quirky characters deal with some rather alarming situations. Our first tale involves a clever little mouse who outwits a cast of forest creatures, including a horrible monster, who all want to eat him for lunch. So warm up your imaginations. Now, if you want to draw pictures while you listen, we here at Discovery Sound would love to see them, and we'd love to share them with our other listeners. So just join our Facebook page, Cortez Community Radio, and share them with us. Now on to our story. The Gruffalo by Julia Donaldson, published by Macmillan Children's Books. A mouse took a stroll through the deep, dark wood. A fox saw the mouse, and the mouse looked good. "Where are you going to, little brown mouse? Come, have lunch in my underground house." "It's terribly kind of you, fox, but no, I'm going to have lunch with a Gruffalo.
"A Gruffalo? What's a Gruffalo?"
"A Gruffalo? Why, didn't you know? He has terrible tusks and terrible claws and terrible teeth in terrible jaws."
"Where are you meeting him?"
"Here, by these rocks. And his favorite food is roasted fox."
"Roasted fox, I'm off," fox said. "Goodbye, little mouse," and away he sped.
"Silly old fox, doesn't he know? There's no such thing as a Gruffalo." On went the mouse through the deep, dark wood. An owl saw the mouse, and the mouse looked good. "Where are you going to, little brown mouse? Come have tea in my treetop house." "It's terribly kind of you, owl, but no. I'm going to have tea with a Gruffalo."
"A Gruffalo? What's a Gruffalo?"
"A Gruffalo? Why, didn't you know? He has knobbly knees and turned out toes, and a poisonous wart at the end of his nose."
"Where are you meeting him?"
"Why, here by this stream. And his favorite food is owl ice cream."
"Owl ice cream? To wit, to woo. Goodbye, little mouse."
And away owl flew. "Silly old owl. Doesn't he know? There's no such thing as a Gruffalo." On went the mouse through the deep, dark wood. A snake saw the mouse, and the mouse looked good. "Where are you going to, my little brown mouse? Come for a feast in my log pile house." "It's terribly kind of you, snake. But no, I'm having a feast with a Gruffalo."
"A Gruffalo? What's a Gruffalo?"
"A Gruffalo? Why, didn't you know? His eyes are orange, His tongue is black. He has purple prickles all over his back. Where are you meeting him? Why, here, by this lake. And his favorite food is scrambled snake. Scrambled snake! It's time I hid. Goodbye, little mouse. And away Snake slid. Silly old Snake. Doesn't he know? There's no such thing as a Gruffalo.
Oh, oh, oh!
But who is this creature with terrible claws and terrible teeth in his terrible jaws? He has knobbly knees and turned out toes and a poisonous wart at the end of his nose. His eyes are orange. His tongue is black. He has purple prickles all over his back. Oh, help! Oh, no! It's a Gruffalo!
My favorite food, the Gruffalo said. You'll taste good on a slice of bread.
Good, said the mouse. Don't call me good. I'm the scariest creature in this wood. Just walk behind me, and soon you'll see everyone is afraid of me.
All right, said the Gruffalo, bursting with laughter. You go ahead. I'll follow after.
They walked and they walked till the Gruffalo said, I hear a hiss in the leaves ahead. Snake, said the mouse. Why, Snake? Hello. Snake took one look at the Gruffalo. Oh, crumbs, he said. Goodbye, little mouse. And off he slid to his log pile house. You see, said the mouse, I told you so.
Amazing, said the Gruffalo.
They walked some more till the Gruffalo said, I hear a hoot in the trees ahead. It's Owl, said the mouse. Why, Owl, hello. Owl took one look at the Gruffalo.
Ho, ho, ho dear, he said. Goodbye, little mouse. And off he flew to his treetop house.
You see, said the mouse, I told you so.
Astounding, said the Gruffalo.
They walked some more till the Gruffalo said, I can hear feet on the path ahead.
It's Fox, said the mouse.
Why, Fox, hello.
Fox took one look at the Gruffalo. Oh, help, he said. Goodbye, little mouse.
And off he ran to his underground house. Well, Gruffalo, said the mouse, you see, everyone is afraid of me. But now my tummy's beginning to rumble, and my favorite food is Gruffalo Crumble.
Gruffalo Crumble, the Gruffalo said,
and quick as the wind he turned and fled. All was quiet in the deep dark wood. The mouse found a nut, and the nut was good.
Well, I saw the thing coming out of the sky. It had a one long horn and one big eye. I come Mr. Shaking in the city. It looks like a purple people eater to me. It was a one-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater.
One-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater.
A one-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater. Sure looks strange to me.
One-eyed.
Well, he came down to earth and he lit in a tree. I said, Mr. Purple People Eater, don't eat me. I heard him say in a voice so gruff,
I wouldn't eat you, cause you're so tough.
It was a one-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater.
One-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater.
One-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater. Sure looks strange to me.
One horn?
I said, Mr. Purple People Eater, what's your line? He said, eating purple people, and it sure is fine. But that's not the reason that I came to land.
I wanna get a job in a rock and roll band.
Well, bless my soul, rock and roll, flying purple people eater, pigeon toed undergrowth, flying purple people eater.
We wear short shorts,
friendly little people eater. What a sight to see. And then he swung from the tree and he lit on the ground and he started to rock, really rocking around. It was a crazy ditty with a swinging tune.
Sing a bop, bop, a boop, a lap, a loom, bam, boom.
Hey, bless my soul, rock and roll, flying purple people eater, pigeon toed, undercoat, flying purple people eater.
I like short shorts,
flying purple people eater. What a sight to see.
Purple people.
Hey, he went on his way and then what do you know? I saw him last night on a TV show. He was blowing it out, really knocking him dead. Playing rock and roll music through the horn in his head.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Discovery Sound. Stories for Young People on Cortez Community Radio. You can find us at CKTZ 89.5 on the radio or at cortezradio.ca on the internet. Our next story is about a little girl named Maisie who sprouted a daisy and how that one small flower grew into a really big problem. But this book also reminds us that things that make us different are often what make us special and loved. Remember, if you want to draw pictures about what you hear, we here at Discovery Sound would love to see your artwork. Also, let us know what your favorite books are, and we might just read them during an upcoming show. Head to our Facebook page, Cortez Community Radio, and share your drawings and book ideas with us. Now here's our next story. Daisy Head Maisie by Dr. Seuss, published by Random House. It's hard to believe such a thing could be true, and I hope such a thing never happens to you. But it happened, they say, to poor Maisie McGrew. And it happened like this. She was sitting one day at her desk in her school in her usual way when she felt a small twitch on the top of her head. So Maisie looked up and she almost dropped dead. Something peculiar was going on there. A daisy was sprouting right out of her hair. Behind her was sitting young Herman, Butch Strudel. This looks like a daisy up here on her noodle. It doesn't make sense. Why, it couldn't be so. A noodle's no place for a daisy to grow. Then spoke up another boy, Einstein Van Tass, the brightest young man in the whole of the class. It's a very odd place to be sprouting a daisy. But nevertheless, one is growing on Maisie. Hey, look it, cried Butch. Right here in this room, Daisy Head Maisie, she's bursting in bloom. Mrs. Sneecher, the teacher, came rushing up quick. Such nonsense! Some child here is playing a trick. Which one of you boys stuck that thing in her hair? You know that a daisy could never grow there. But teacher, said Butch, I saw the thing rise right out of her head with my very own eyes. Just give it a yank if you think I tell lies. But Mrs. Sneecher had heard quite enough of this talk. Maisie, hold still. Let me get at that stalk. Ouch! Hollered Maisie. Quit yankin', Butch said. You're giving her pains. I bet those roots go all the way down in her brains. The kids in the class started shouting like crazy. Daisy Head, Daisy Head, Daisy Head Maisie. Children, be quiet. Miss Sneecher was puzzled. Good grief and alas, to think this has happened right here in my class. I've taught in this room 20 years, maybe more. But I've never seen anything like this before. I'll have to report it. You'll just have to come to the principal's office and show Mr. Grum." Now the principal, good Mr. Gregory Grum, was a very nice man, just as smart as they come. He knew more than anyone else in this nation about long division and multiplication. He knew all the answers, why oceans are deep, why skies are high and mountains so steep. He should have the answer to this thing on Maisie. "My word," he declared, "it's a genuine daisy. I've seen them quite often in fields growing wild, but never before on the head of a child. Now, what in the world ever made this thing sprout? I have no idea, but I'm going to find out." It says here, daisies grow on the land. They grow between rocks. They also grow in sand. It mentions right here they can grow in a pot, but mention the head of a girl, it does not. Daisies, it says, sometimes grow in Alaska. Also Missouri, Rhode Island, Nebraska. They grow in Japan and in Spain and Peru, in India, France, and Idaho too. They grow in South Boston and also in Rome. But why should they grow on this little girl's dome? "Say, look it," said Maisie. "It's wilting," said teacher. "How wonderful, Maisie. It soon will be dead. You'll be rid of that daisy." "In just a few minutes, our troubles will pass," declared Mr. Grum. "Take her back to the class." Then the principal saw a most terrible sight. The daisy was dying, and that was all right. But that daisy was part of poor Maisie McGrew, and Maisie was starting to wilt away too. "Teacher," said Grum, "you know what I think? They're both going to die. Hurry, bring them a drink." "This is a problem," said Grum with a frown. "You take Maisie away and you make her lie down. You lock her up tight in that room down the hall. There are quite a few numbers that I've got to call. Get Maisie's parents on the end of the line. I need them here quickly while there's still time." On the phone, Maisie's mum asked, "What's all the fuss?" Then replied fast, "Goodness to Betsy, I'll catch the next bus." A call to the shoe store reached Mr. McGrew. He answered while holding a customer's shoe. "She's growing a what? I'm coming right there." And he ran out the shoe store with no time to spare. "A doctor should see her," the principal said, "and an expert like plants, like the one on her head." So he called Dr. Eisenbart, who said, "Goodness gracious, a child with a head that's partly herbaceous? I simply must see this. I'll come over to you." And his patient, though shirtless, came along too. Then Grum called Finch the florist, who grabbed for his shears. "I'll be there just as fast as my truck can shift gears." Meanwhile, poor Maisie lay down on a couch. The daisy slumped down on its stem in a slouch. But the window was open because it was warm, and the sweet-smelling daisy attracted a swarm of bees. Bees, bees, bees. Maisie jumped out the window. What else could she do? The faster she ran, the faster they flew. In the park, she ran into Officer Thatcher. The bees on her heels were just starting to catch her. He said, "Wait a minute, kid, I'll be right back." And he left Maisie alone to fend off the attack. But Thatcher returned with a fishbowl and bucket, into which went the fish from the bowl. Then he stuck it on top of Maisie's head. She felt like a fool. "Kid," he said, "I'm taking you back to your school." Principal Grum didn't know what to do. "It's worse," cried Miss Sneecher, "much worse than we feared. The daisy and Maisie have both disappeared." Behind her came charging Mr. McGrew, chased by a customer chasing his shoe. Finch the florist, Dr. Eisenbart too, Dr. Eisenbart's patient, and Mrs. McGrew. Then the door opened, and in came poor Maisie, wearing the fishbowl, protecting her Daisy. Then Officer Thatcher, who looked all around, said, "Anyone know this kid that I found?" "Mama," cried Maisie as she ran to her mother. But Mrs. McGrew stepped back with a shudder. "I think I feel faint," she just managed to utter. "Stand back," yelled the doctor as he looked about. "Allow me some room to examine her sprout." The doctor approached with stethoscope to his ear, but the wail of a siren was all he could hear. And then, without warning, the door opened wide. And who but the mayor stepped inside. At meetings and greetings, there was none to compare. He was the best at long speeches, chock full of hot air. "I promise, my friends, that if I'm reelected, this Daisy on Maisie will be disconnected. The law of our fathers is simple and sound. Daisies belong and should stay in the ground. The rest are illegal. We'll bar them from town." Then just as the mayor finished his talk, Finch the florist began quietly to walk, and standing directly behind Maisie said, "I know a way to get rid of a Daisy. So there's a flower between her two ears. I'll snip it clean off with my sharp pruning shears." But Maisie, she saw him and let out a screech. She pushed him aside and raced out of reach. Maisie ran from the school, headed straight out of town. She came to a meadow and fell to the ground. With her head in her hands, she lay all alone. Her heart, it was broken. She could never go home. "Nobody loves me. Nobody loves me. Nobody loves me," she cried. Nobody loved her? Poor Maisie McGrew. It's hard to believe such a thing could be true. And maybe that's why, then this Daisy above, when Maisie below began talking of love. Well, you know about daisies when love is in doubt. The job of a daisy is try and find out. They love her. They love her not. They love her. They love her not. "Don't worry, Maisie," said her daisy as its last petal fell. "They love you." Then the stalk disappeared. Well, that's how it all happened. The thing went away, and Maisie McGrew is quite happy today. Back at her studies and doing just great in all her subjects in room number 8. And concerning that daisy, you know that it never grew out of the top of her head again, ever? Well, it practically never popped up there again, excepting occasionally, just now and then.
The awful riot.
The S, the T, the U, the V's for vowel. The W, X, the Y.
by the Z's for Zorro. See you tomorrow.
Yeah, fly like an eagle. Well, it's the Fugees on Sesame. Clap your hands, do a dance with El Jiggy.
Now Snuffy and Big Bird are having a good time. They're walking, trying to talk to a mom here in the square where they've just seen it all, but they never seen a yellow bird 7 feet tall.
Be yourself.
Just be yourself.
Hi there, everyone. We're going to wrap things up for today, but thanks so much for listening to Discovery Sound, stories and songs for young people on Cortez Community Radio. To tune in again, remember, we're at CKTZ 89.5. And you can listen to the Discovery Sound podcast anytime you like by heading to our webpage at cortezradio.ca. If you want to post the children's books you'd like to hear on Discovery Sound, head to the Cortez Community Radio Facebook page. The songs on today's show included that super oldie, Purple People Eater by Sheb Woolley, as well as the Fugees' Sesame Street version of Just Happy to Be Me. The musical scores on the show were composed by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. We'll finish with another song about being happy with who you are. Just like the characters in our stories today, even when faced with some tricky situations. Now here's Meghan Trainor and Lunchbox Lewis with I Love Me.
I love me. I love me. I don't know about you, but baby, I love me.
Now everybody say,
but I love me.
I love me.
I love me.
I love me.
I don't know about you.
I love